Good morning. I really, when I realized what all the other speakers were presenting, I really feel I should go last because my work is designed to incorporate everything else they're presenting. So what I'm going to present to you today is preliminary to be adjusted from all the excellent work my colleagues will show today. This is basically an update of a cost-effectiveness analysis that I started doing almost 20 years ago and updated sporadically. It's been presented in many fora and it's been published, but now we're trying to bring it up to date. And Cheryl Wallen Abrahams is my co-author on this. Also, it was reviewed in draft by Michael Foster. We're going to talk a little bit about the differences between cost-effectiveness analysis, cost-benefit analysis, and disability-adjusted life years, and discuss the impact of not breastfeeding in terms of cost to our national health. Just want to start, in case anyone in this room does not already know, with the statement that breastfeeding is preventive health, and it's a very important preventive health intervention. Under the ACA and with many other statements, it's been stated that preventive health approaches are a financial imperative for this country. So there's going to be a lot of comparison going on between different interventions and what they can save our country, different preventive interventions. Preventive measures could both promote improved health outcomes and be cost effective. And so it's very important that we put out breastfeeding now and right now and well as one of the most cost effective preventive interventions that we can offer. Both cost effectiveness and cost benefit approaches allow assessment and comparison of different approaches to support this, but in different ways. We all know that exclusive breastfeeding should be normative in the early months. This has not been achievable in the United States, in part due to lack of guaranteed paid maternity leave, lack of social support, especially for minorities and low-income moms, and certainly our health system has a long way to go to fully implement breastfeeding supportive interventions, or should I say to stop doing breastfeeding barrier interventions. So what I'm pursuing here today and want to share with you is a very conservative approach to looking at costs. I tried to carefully not overestimate at any point what the savings might be. And in fact, where two entities lead to the same diseases, I did not include both. For example, I did not include obesity in my analysis because I did include diabetes and GI problems. And I didn't want to get accused in any way of double dipping. The purpose of this presentation is that it builds on earlier work and examines cost, benefits, effectiveness, and dailies to some extent if we were supporting exclusive breastfeeding for at least 3 months of exclusive breastfeeding. I used a standard cost-benefit analysis approach, and I estimated the benefits using published costs for treatment of individual illnesses, and I explored the savings that would accrue with at least 6 months of, 3 months of exclusive breastfeeding. And I used available data on breastfeeding rates, as well as available data on excess disease risk. Now, I have to say not all sources give us the same answer to that. So again, a lot of this has a little bit of give in it, and I tried to be conservative in my estimates. What does it cost to support breastfeeding in the United States? I am opining that we have to have paid maternity leave if we are serious about supporting exclusive breastfeeding, because it's exclusive breastfeeding at the breast that has been shown to have these health impacts. We really don't know. Obviously, as WHO says, exclusive at the breast is best, then exclusive mother's milk given after it's been expressed, and then donor milk. But we really don't know the difference it makes from breastfeeding at the breast in terms of these health impacts. We also need health system changes, basically the 10 steps, as well as offering breastfeeding support to every mom and baby. And there are maternal food costs. She has to eat a little bit more if she's breastfeeding. But we also have contraceptive savings, because if she is exclusively breastfeeding for 3 months, there's no need for contraception during those 3 months. And anybody, please ask me questions about that. Dailies are calculated in this presentation for a very limited number of specific causes. Okay, what is cost-effectiveness analysis? It compares the relative costs and outcomes of two or more courses of action that lead to the same effect. And in other words, this is used, which approach prevents more deaths at what cost, how much disease can be averted per dollar spent by two different approaches. It's often used in the field of health services because it's hard to monetize health outcomes in many cases. Monetize a death, for example, is difficult. Monetizing an illness can be difficult. So it's very common to see cost-effectiveness analysis in health. Cost-benefit analysis, however, speaks much better to policymakers because you're really talking about money saved. You have to apply a monetized value to the measure of effect. Which approach saves more money for the system is what you answer with cost-benefit analysis. It evaluates the cost of an approach in terms of the money spent. So therefore, people who want to save money, the big they out there, they want to know how much money is saved. So in calculating the savings, if any of you don't like formulae, take a, not infant stuff, this kind. You can take a nap right now because most of this is describing how I went about getting to conclusions. I use this calculation for the savings. Constant for the number of years of the effect of the disease, times the incidence of the disease, times the percent not already exclusively breastfeeding for 3 months in our population, times the total population at risk, in other words, all births, which has been dropping, by the way, so these are already out of date, times the reduction in the rate that's associated with breastfeeding, how much would be reduced if the breastfeeding occurs, times the cost of the treatment. And okay, now get ready for blurry eyes. Okay, I did this for infectious disease, cancer, GI, diabetes, neck, and then I added maternal cancer and maternal diabetes. And no matter how hard I tried to get this up to $13 billion, I could only get it up to $7.8 billion saved. So I'm curious to have a discussion with Melissa after this meeting to figure out how I can get it up to $13 billion. But this is nothing to sneeze at, $7.8 billion. However, we have to also talk about the costs. Now, you have to obviously be somewhat near a baby to breastfeed. So there has to be physical proximities to one child. So you either need co-located child care or you need leave. Also, we have to create and maintain skilled support so that everyone can access it. And that means hospital quality of care, a continuum of breastfeeding support thereafter. Okay, again, a formula. So how do we calculate the cost of support? I basically looked at the number of additional full-time equivalent LCs we need and the cost of training an LC, plus the cost of two contacts with an LC per baby on average. Some may need none, some may need four, times the population at risk, which again is the number of live births. Then the cost of implementing the 10 steps times the number of centers out there, which a number which was confirmed by Deborah D yesterday in the hallway. So it's a little update here. Then the cost of the maternity leave, minus the cost of contraception for 3 months, plus the cost of extra maternal nutrition. And when I costed those out, they kind of equal each other out. Again, go cross-eyed. Oh, no, not yet. Cost of maternity leave. The way I did this is the number of units of time for leave times the cost for that unit of time and the potential number in the workforce. And again, the numbers I use are, I can explain, but I basically took it from the latest literature about the number of women who go back to work in the first year. Now, using the average wage in the United States, this is kind of like here's the bad news and the good news, or the good news and the bad news. If we really did average wage in the United States for all women who go back to work, it would cost $13 billion, which is more, remember, than our $7.8 billion saved. However, who is it who really, really most needs that money in order to breastfeed? And if we're trying to reduce disparities, it really is the minimum wage workers. Okay, I have to say that $13 billion is giving everybody 90% of their salary. The minimum wage is that minimum wage, and calculating minimum wage for all women who would be in that population, it's $8 billion, and minimum wage for 6 weeks is $4 billion. So I just wanted to remember 13, 8, and 4. Are three different ways of looking at the need for maternity leave costs. So if I cost out the cost of support, it comes out to about 4.8. So we had 7.8 billion in terms of savings and 4.8 billion with the maternity cost being minimum wage is the cost. Okay? So, good news, bad news. The savings is more than the cost, but we're only giving maternity leave at 6 weeks minimum wage. I will come back to that. There's some good news in that, too. To calculate cost benefit, this is the formula that's used, but basically it depends a lot on capital costs. That's what these little R's are and different issues like that. Since there's no significant capital costs, we can assume the denominators to be equal. Therefore, the equation is simply the sum of one versus the sum of the other. Subtracting out 7.835 minus 4.843 is $3 billion of savings, with a very conservative estimate of the savings and with a conservative estimate of the costs. For every dollar spent, that means there's $1.62 in savings. This happens to have been pretty consistent over the years with the increase in costs in healthcare. There's also been increase in costs of leave. So this ratio has stayed pretty consistent since the first time I did it, which is in the dark ages. Now, let's talk a little bit about disability-adjusted life years. That equation is the years of life lost times the years lost due to the disability. In a study in Brazil where cost for everything is less than it is in the States, the cost of healthcare and the cost of paying people, they came out to about $2 to $4 per daily. In the United States, we're expensive. So in calculating it, I first looked at years of life lost. And this was reasonably easy to do because there are statistics in the national statistics, this is all for the U.S., where I could actually find a number of deaths. And when I applied the ratio of deaths from infectious disease to the number and so on, I applied these same ratios that I was talking about earlier, I felt very safe saying that at least 4,589 deaths were due to less than, I should say, exclusive breastfeeding 3. Over 4,000 deaths occur in a year that can be directly attributed to the fact that we are not supporting all women to exclusively breastfeed for at least 3 months. I assume that these were deaths and infant deaths, since that's all I looked at, so I assume 75 years life expectancy. And that means by lack of breastfeeding, we're losing 334,175 years of productive human life. Now, the years lost to disability is a little bit trickier. And I honestly was going to not present anything today because I just found this, everything that I presented to you so far has been checked by at least one other person and double-checked by me. This other that I'm going to share with you right now is a quick and dirty. And I just wanted to share it since I was doing it. I thought you might like to know. And basically what I found is that we could estimate from breast cancer and diabetes in childhood. So diabetes in childhood alone, the excess diabetes that would occur and the excess maternal breast cancer would occur would add 420,000 to this number. Now, if you add that all up, what you get is approximately $10,000 per daily in the United States. Do not despair, because as I said, I only included two diseases in that. And come back next year, and I'll have the full formula done, and get a good cost estimate of what we could save in terms of disability life years by the same effort. But that's even $10,000 per year of productive human life, considering what the GDP is in the United States, this still is good. This still is good. And it's going to get lower as we add in more disease entities. So those of you whose eyes glazed over with all those numbers, now let's talk about programs. There are federal and state programs that are heading us in the right direction. The 10 steps for successful breastfeeding in maternity centers, it's starting. CDC is funding 90 hospitals. There already are 100 and some odd hospitals. We're going to go from 5% of all the maternities to up to maybe 9% of all the maternities being baby-friendly within the next couple of years. That's not enough. All hospitals have to be baby-friendly, and I would suggest programmatically we concentrate on training in hospitals, because if we can put the quality of care behaviors into training hospitals, then all our graduate nurses and doctors, as they come out into the field, will be looking for quality of care, and I think that's something we really should highlight as we go forward. Now, here's the good news about the paid leave. Remember I said it would cost $13 billion for all women to get the 12 weeks of 90% of their full pay. Workman's comp now is used for sort of a similar idea. Now, we don't want to say that pregnancy is a disease or an injury, but if we added that cost into the current cost of workman's comp, currently, kind of on average around the country, because it's state by state, employers pay 1.5% of their payroll to workman's comp. If we added in the costs that I just shared with you, that would come up to 1.7%. Really quite a small change. I mean, it's big in terms of everybody, but it's a tiny change that we would have to make in workman's comp to include maternity leave. So I'm proposing that we consider that as an approach. Certainly, we need the code of marketing to be implemented in the United States to stop all the false and misleading advertising by formula companies. My colleague, Kathy Perry, is presenting on that, I believe, later today or tomorrow. And we have to look at WIC. WIC has made phenomenal strides in supporting breastfeeding. However, they still are the largest provider of free formula, probably in the world. So we have to look at that balance. With all respect and encouragement for WIC, we really kind of have to continue to consider what that is doing to women's choices. So just want to conclude by saying I think it's really important that we translate all this project work into real numbers, dollars, to go to the policymakers. And my conclusion is that it would be very cost beneficial for the U.S. to be fully supporting breastfeeding in this manner. Make everybody happy. Yes. Hi.
When I had my kids, I didn't go back to work and I breastfed because I thought the cost of childcare was, you know, offset what I was going to make. Does that come into your calculation in any way?
No, it doesn't. Thank you. You just tipped me over the barrel. Thank you so much, Anne. I really appreciate
that. Related to that, what about the women who don't go back to work? Are you assuming that every woman who was working goes back to work, or every woman who has a baby is going to go back to work?
These are the data on women who have an infant who enter the workforce. It's 55% more or less, and most of which is full-time. I did a conservative estimate.
But that's by a year. If you're looking at the first 3 months, it's nowhere near that.
Probably not. So I said that I wanted to do a very conservative estimate.
Well, that would drastically alter the cost.
Okay, if you can help me find those numbers.
I do have some.
Good. Thank you so much. And you realize that both questions now make the cost savings even much higher.
Mm-hmm.